Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, and we share what we've learned with you. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, a lot of laughter, and experience. Use the other 23 hours a day to do life, but for this, put your ears on and come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're exercising or driving or food shopping or something like that, come on for the ride. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we would be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, Twitter, or Facebook. In tonight's show, the dads will have some food fun during Parent Tweets of the Week. Also, they'll take a real look and do a family check while discussing the article by Lisa Firestone, PhD, called Compassion Matters, the Key to Raising Independent and Capable Kids, in the Smart Articles by Smart People segment. It's an article from Psychology Today, and they'll do a reality check with their own families and see how the guys are doing. Talk first jobs, hint, Ben may or may not have received electric shocks, and MK may or may have not made tips with cologne. And then we'll take on some questions from our popular new Would You Rather segment and finally wrap up with things that make us smile. Things that make me smile. One of them is standing right in front of me. What's your name, sir?
Landon.
Landon, when I know we're recording this intro anyway on Valentine's Day, so I just want to wish you a very happy Valentine's Day. Did you have a good day?
Yes.
Well, I'll let you kick it off with your dad joke. Is that good enough? Is this a dad joke? Yes. Or is this a kid joke?
I think it's a dad joke.
Okay. Let her rip.
Did you hear the joke about the butter?
Why, no. I have not.
I'd better not tell you. It might spread.
Oh, Lando. High fives all around. Happy Valentine's Day around the world, even though you'll be hearing this post-Valentine's Day. Dad Timeout Show coming up next. Love you.
Love you too.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, the guys have come around the corner. Hey, gentlemen. Hey.
Good evening.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you guys. I was daydreaming on the way here which concoction your wife Jen would have come up with. I was extra excited tonight. Never disappointed. And I just appreciate you guys so much, man. You guys do 10 times what we do. We show up and we talk, but you and Jen make it happen. So thanks.
Wow, that's very kind of you. It's a great way to start the show. Good energy, good mojo.
Is that, you just texted me. Was that right? Was that what you wanted me to say?
That's exactly what I wrote down for you. Did you like the font?
Yeah. Comic
listen
songs.
To Ed McMahon over there. All right, speaking of that, we are down one wheel tonight on the car.
Mm. All the ladies aren't going to listen to this one. They're going to be like, Chai's not here. I'm not listening.
I know. Yeah. Well, so let's go around the room. Let's paint the room. It's a lovely night here in Northern California.
It is.
We should be expecting some rain, I think, coming in February. But right now, I'm just enjoying morning fog and nice like days.
Serious.
I'm MK.
Fog.
I'll be your host tonight. Let's go around the room. The guy with the winter hat on.
I'm Ben. I'm still here. I still have three kids.
All righty.
Hey, I'm Mark. I'm back. And here I am.
Oh, that's right.
Back from Zion.
Quick catch up. So Mark wasn't here last episode. He was out. Did you drive, fly, walk? How'd you get to?
We flew to Las Vegas.
Oh,
we rented a Lincoln Navigator, which is a ginormous piece of a car.
Very clear and present danger.
It was.
Did you have a motorcade?
The motorcade.
I wore every Marvel movie. I wore a suit and dark glasses the whole time.
Some guys ran along
your
car.
We drove to Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park. Stayed in the park, which is highly recommended, and hiked and saw. Amazing.
Stay in the park, the actual park.
We stayed at the lodge. At so the
then
lodge.
You that was an embellishment because you didn't stay in the park.
It's technically in the park. Mm-mm. The lodge.
I don't know if I don't know. I've been to both.
And let the listeners decide, MK.
Because we stayed in the park in Zion in the summertime.
Did you camp?
No, I don't camp.
You don't camp?
I don't camp. I more power to people to camp. I don't camp.
So you stayed in the lodge?
In the Zion lodge, like the actual park lodge,
right,
in
that's
the middle
where I
of the
was.
Park.
Yeah.
Bryce,
well,
too?
Well, I went in.
No,
and put my
no. Bryce was, a, okay, Bryce was a flyby.
Jeez. All right. Listeners have already, like, tossed this aside. we've got a great show tonight, National Parks aside. Our tweets of the week are basically assembling around the food forces of the universe. We've got a really good article that we came across through another article because Mark sent me one. I thought that was a little too heady for tonight's episode, but in the same... Well, not that we won't get to it, but I thought it was a lot coming in at the last minute. But I had same magazine, Psychology Today, our smart articles by smart people. And we've kind of breached on this a little bit. The key to raising independent and capable kids seems to be the hot topic. We've had a couple shows and roundtops about different versions of this, but we'll go through that article. We've got Parent Quiz tonight. And then we're going to do a little Would You Rather and wrap her up with things that make us smile. All right. So I just want to give some quick shout outs. We always have a lot of great Instagram stuff to talk about. Really fun one happened this week, actually. But let's go to @thedadlife. Great page about two brothers journeying through fatherhood. It's a really just a really wonderful, warm page on Instagram, @thedadlife_. So check them out. Ellie Norris Ryder, big fan of Ellie Norris. She's a contributor at Scary Mommy, Today Show. And you'll like this. She sent me a really cool tip about a makeup organizer. Mm. And I may or may not have purchased said makeup organizer.
Fantastic.
I have a bathroom where just stuff is everywhere.
I'm going to go with may not.
When she sent me, it's like a shelving unit, but it turns and it's, anyway. So thank you, Ellie Norris. Four Families Golf, F-O-R-E Families Golf. It's a really cool IG page with a lot of family and golf content. I'd like to say they're Bay Area based, but I'm not sure. At Kristen Cobabe, C-O-B-A-B-E. If you have a teenager, highly recommend her page, her links, her stuff. Hashtag Teen Whisperer. She's got a lot of great content for those with teenagers, but a lot of great content in general. And fun fact, free coach and course guides also available there if you're trying to figure out an issue or a issue.
Nice.
At Julia Hearts Live, @Jessica_Spear_author.
Oh, geez.
Two other great pages. Wonderful, wonderful folks. Here's a really fun one that's going to come to our home stretch. @MapleStreetCheesecakes.
Okay.
Right here in Oakland.
Okay.
Oh.
And Maple Street Cheesecakes. Just man. Google that, or if you live in the area, just go to their Instagram.
Cheesecake. Yeah.
And we had some commentary back and forth, and I will promise you in the next few episodes there will be a Maple Street Cheesecake for
come
us.
On.
For us to have.
Oh, man.
I'm not asking for a partner here. Oh. I'm just asking if you guys like cheesecakes, that's where we're going.
It was our wedding cake, if that says anything.
All right, Maple Street's on the clock. All right, and here's the fun news of the week, and then we're going to go on into our tweets of the week. Guess who buzzed the Dad Timeout Tower this week?
Who's that?
Could be anybody.
I don't want to give you guys hints because I'm a pop culture addict, and I've loved this person for years. Her name's Katie Couric.
No way.
Yes, I'm reading her book right now, Going There. I just finished the Howard Boys book, as you may have heard on the last episode.
Yes.
Her book is fantastic. I'll just say this. She's an American badass, and she's an incredible role model for women and girls in general. And she broke so many ceilings and went through so much stuff. So I'm reading her book, and I just took a picture of a page, just a snapshot of something. Her and Norman Schwarzkopf were going back and forth.
That's really funny.
And he just said something to the effect, like, if you have a girl, just name her Storm and Norma. And I'm like, this is so badass.
That's awesome.
But I'm on the chapters now where she's gotten out of the Today Show and she's wrapping it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of exciting. I know she's got people that do the people thing.
Don't downplay it.
But I saw that little thing checkmarked and I'm like, wait a minute. Hey. What?
It's pretty cool.
All right, that's the top of the show. We're now going to head to parent tweets of the week coming up next. The fan voted number one favorite section of the show.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. These are rather easy, fun ones. I don't know why. Maybe I was hungry. Maybe I wasn't. I don't know how I got into the food zone on Twitter. But I do like to, I don't doom scroll. I told you guys my method to madness. I get on one that may be on like Huffington Post or something, like funny parent tweets about fairies or food or bicycles. And then I start going to the specific parent, and then I say who they like, and then I watch their chains, and that's how we end up on this magical carpet ride known as Tweets of the Week. First one is from world-renowned at Simon C. Holland.
Oh, yes.
Coming in hot. Sunglasses on in his Twitter profile picture, by the way. I wish I was as brave as my kid who just ate 0 bites of her dinner and then asked my wife for a snack 6 minutes after the table was clear.
6 minutes, that's long.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, like, you're on.
No, my kids are like in conjunction with dinner.
Can't you sniff it out? Like,
dude,
I just sniff it out anymore. We'll call them on it.
I go back and forth. I'm like, okay, hold on. Your mom made a beautiful dinner. You sit down and eat it even if you don't like it. And she's like, I just want them to get some food in them. You know what I mean? We just had it about a half hour ago. This was happening to us.
Like, ours is usually the race to, like, we always say a prayer at the top of the dinner. We'll get into it. And then there's always one that kind of, can I be excused now? Mm. Like the first one's like, can I be excused now? Can I be excused now? Because that's kind of our rule. And we're now like at the point like, no. Because in 15 minutes, if one of them calls them asserts. Can I have desserts now? Desserts. And I noticed conspicuously, because we give them a little free trust in the pantry zone, the Oreos get waffled down rather fast.
Yeah, well.
I don't keep that stuff in the house anymore for that reason. And I also.
Where do you hang it, like a bear?
No,
like,
I don't. Like, where do you put it in the tree? I don't even buy it. I don't even buy it. But I do keep an eye on the kids and their posturing during dinner. And I can tell when one of the kids doesn't dig dinner. And I try and circumvent by being like, look, I have a couple bites of this. And then how about I get you this to get you? Because to your wife's point, Ben, I want my kids going hungry. But at the same time, I want to make sure it's not Oreos and Takis.
That's the thing is my wife made an amazing thing. I'm like, oh, wow, this is so good. And I want them just to be grateful and learn to eat different things. But my 9-year-old, she just kind of sniffs it and pokes it, and then she'll go grab carrots and fruit, and she's just like a little rabbit. She perches too. She sits like a rabbit even, and she just eats carrots and fruit. So I'm like, okay, is that bad? I mean, whatever.
We kind of have that rule where you may not like it because we do a lot of random dishes with Blue Apron, like,
oh, you do
middle, yeah, a lot of Mediterranean, a lot of fish and stuff, but we'll make something a little extra, like an extra chicken breast or a little macaroni, knowing if it's a risky adventure.
Oh, I got you.
Just because they will eat. One thing I love about my kid, they do eat, like when they're hungry, especially my teen now. Like, we had Thai food last night, and she just devoured it, which is awesome.
Yeah, okay. We do HelloFresh.
Yeah, they're all good in different ways. But yeah, we're lucky, but we will not excuse if we know the snack carousel's coming up.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't try my snacks in a tree like Mark, like you do at campsites. Okay, this is stays on the food train. I guess this is something you do or don't. At the Cat Whisperer says, just disassembled my sandwich and put chips on it in the middle of a business meeting like a 9-year-old boss. A totally awesome 9-year-old.
I can hear it. I can hear that. And everybody was jealous because they know it's awesome.
I put chips on my sandwich.
Totally.
Since I've been a kid.
You kidding me? That's like life right there.
You all agree then?
Oh, completely. Yes.
Oh, good, good.
That's what I mean. All those people were jealous. All the other, just do it.
I thought one of us would be a non-chip person and we'd have to come in hot.
Oh, no. No, I'm all about it.
I don't know. Chai will definitely have something to say about this.
But do you think Chris is down in Disney right now? Like,
just shaking his head like, what?
Oh, no. He's a chip or two.
By the way, our fourth castmate is at Disney right now. Maybe he's on Dumbo.
He could be.
Just being a little kid going up and down.
A single podcast? Is he like 52 for 52?
I don't think so.
He is. This is his first.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to pour one out for my home.
And I'm in a seat. I feel promoted tonight.
Maybe he's having a turkey leg right now.
No.
Ooh, or churro.
or getting the what was the controversial show. Popcorn thing they just had? Figment.
What?
Oh, all these Disney loons lined up, like, full respect to Disney, but like there was like a 5.5 hour line to get the Figment popcorn container.
Yeah,
Figment from Anyway, not my cup of tea. Right. More power to him. Maybe he's in that line. Maybe he's not. All right. This is from Keith at TCHR Quotes. Oh, this is interesting. Me. Look, I love you, but I made exactly the amount of cheese and crackers I want to eat right now. Wife. But I only. Me. Exactly the amount. I think we know where this is going.
Oh yeah, dude. I just try to hide it, like on the other side of my body. She's still
now. Full respect to women. This can go the other way around. You know, it could be reversed. Are your wife? Do they pick at your food
every time? Every time. In fact, I just adjusted to it. No matter what she says, I adjusted 20% more every time.
I will say. We're in a beautiful place these days, but I also say in the very beginning of our long relationship, it used to drive me nuts because if let's just throw an example out there. Say you're having shrimp Alfredo, and you're enjoying it. You're in your zone. You're talking. You're having a little wine. And then your wife says, hey, can I have a bite? And you're like, yeah. And then the fork turns, and then one shrimp gets plucked, and then another shrimp gets plucked, and then that goes over to the plate. And you're like, that's the bite that's the one you decided to take? Like, that was our issue. Yeah. But
you got to just get, okay.
Conversely, my wife was always very generous.
And so to her, it's normal, and you're just like...
I had to learn. I had to grow as a human because I was so selfish in the beginning. Because my thought was like, hey, well, just order one. If you want it, just order it.
Some people are just better sharers than others.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. When we were in Las Vegas and we went to one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants, I ordered a dinner, and I ended up sharing... you know, 50% of it with my family. And I guess I've learned with having kids, and much to the point about this with the wife. Now I ask my wife, I'm like, hey, I'm going to make cheese and crackers, or I'm going to make this. Do you want some so I can.
Yeah, but she says no.
Oh, no. Okay. My wife has learned, again, we're at that point in our relationship where she's like, you know what? That does sound good. And I'll make a little extra because I have poachers. I have kids and, you know, and my wife. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I guess I just learned to try and... Because I too, like you, when I order my dinner, MK, I want to eat the dinner I ordered. I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want it to be open season on my dinner.
Yeah, I just look at the reciprocity factor. And sometimes I will want to try my wife, so I'd never want to set up that wall where I'm stingy and then I don't have a shot at the title on her plate.
Just anticipate sharing every time.
Oh, isn't that so nice?
I've learned that no matter what they say, they're going to want your food. So
order the extra dessert knowing that yours is going to get poached.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
My kids and I, we all, it's hard to turn down a kid when they ask you for a bite. Mm. Yeah. But there's sometimes, man, when I just make that grilled cheese and it's just right, and then I get a drive-by, and they're like, can I have a bite of that? And you're like, don't think so. I don't think so.
This is special to me.
Yeah.
Too important.
I've been craving this since my intermittent fasting last night at like 8 o'clock when I stopped eating.
I'll make you three.
And I might peel the cheesy halves apart and put chips in the middle.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you, what's your favorite? Let's just go off topic. If you could have any sandwich in front of you right now, just straight up sandwich, what would it be?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just like like a real turkey sandwich, like with, you know, like real, like oven roasted from a sandwich board on the corner.
Oh, okay.
Guy roasts his own turkey every night. I don't know how he does it.
I'm going Eric's Deli Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but most humans in the United States don't know that reference.
It's a turkey with avocado.
Oh, I've had that.
And sprouts. And it's on like wheat bread, and it's just this incredible
Small World Harvey. I took Jen on surgery. My wife had surgery this week, just on her wrist. Not just on her wrist. It was pretty major. But I took her there as her kind of recovery lunch. And I know that sandwich.
It's a good sandwich,
Eric's
man.
Is all over. They're good stuff.
I'm a Philly guy, so. But I can't go cheesesteak because that's technically not a. I don't know. Is it a sandwich? Is it not?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, we could get in the cheesesteak wars, but. Yeah, cheesesteak from Jim's with Whiz and onions to die for. Whoa. But my favorite childhood post-baseball sandwich was a roast beef with provolone, hot mustard, and Andy's hot fries in the middle. You know, those little crunchy hot fries?
Squish them in there.
Man. Oh, my gosh. All right. Anybody else hungry?
I'm hungry now.
Let's just call it a night and go get sandwiches.
Right.
This is from at Marcus the Token. Since we talked a little bit about food delivery, I totally agree with this guy. Food delivery is a combination of my three favorite things: food, not moving, and avoiding people.
Oh, come on. Well, the thing with it is, not necessarily like the meals, like Blue Apron or whatever, but it seems like with that, we were like, oh, it's so expensive. But after you think of dinner, shop, cook, leftovers, it's more expensive and way more work. So I don't know. Anyway, at this phase of life, you got to think about where you're at in life, but it sounds expensive, but in the end, it actually is cheaper and way less energy. So anyway,
when I was a kid, like eating out for us, we didn't have a lot of money, so it was a luxury. Like
it should be.
You went out or you got takeout so few and far between,
but it's so cheap here. No, it's cheap.
Depends where you go.
But it also, but to your point, it was a luxury for us.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big deal.
We would have Pizza Fridays with like the biggest deal. We'd go down to Pete's Pizza in Philadelphia,
just
Pennsylvania.
Just you and mom or some friends? Or?
Yeah, me and mom. You get the shatterproof soda, the 2 liter.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, jeez.
Orange Fanta, maybe. Oh. You know, whatever. Yeah. Oh, you'd eat the piece and you'd burp and it would just be love. But here, I think maybe because we're now adults and we make more money than we did. I don't know. And then the pandemic had us doing a lot of takeout, right? Because I felt like
trying
that was
all the local stops.
Well, supporting and feeling like it was a real luxury to have like food you weren't making because you were in your house all day and all night.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, when an Ike's sandwich shows up on your front porch with contactless delivery and you're like sitting there with a good sando in your hands, man, that's like
contactless.
Yeah, they just like leave it on your porch, ring the doorbell,
and
walk
away.
Does
it taste better?
They have little tongs. You can see it in your ring. Order one next time. These little tiny sandwich tongs.
Future generations are just gonna laugh.
Mark has his delivered with drones.
I do.
I still think that's a myth.
Actually, Mountain Goats.
People say
that's
happened. I don't think it happens.
They put him on Mount Harvey. It just like
put Mountain Goats.
Yeah, Mountain Goats.
Mountain Goats.
My cats tell me when it's there.
All right, final tweet of the week. That's right. You have like 7 cats.
19.
19.
You know, I was watching Hoarders, and the lady had like 200 cats. Oh, anyway, this is our final one. Totally switches gears. At Word S. Very cool Twitter handle. 10-year-old asks for something. Me. Okay. 10. That's it? No 4-hour lecture or reminder about the rules and stuff? Me. No, I think you're old enough. But this does not mean you. 10. And there it is. I only brought that up because I'm now at the stage with my kids where I can tell the older two are smack talking me from the back of the car, like, oh gosh, here comes another lecture.
Yeah.
Do you lecture?
Yeah. And
when?
Daily.
And does conversation turn into lecturing even though you're not technically lecturing? And do you prep your lectures?
Oh, dude.
No.
I'm the worst. Everything is a lecture.
It's just terrible. You can watch the words just bouncing off of their faces. They're just like looking at you and rolling their eyes. It's like, I should just stop. There's got to be a better way. But
this is where I marvel at like grandparents, especially my southern relatives and their and the elders. They could roll off these two liners, and you'd remember them the rest of your life.
way more poignant than our rants. Yeah.
Yeah. And I try to like constantly pull that up, but then I find myself having to. But now I think that I've had, you know, we have three kids. I've done enough that I can sense when I'm drawing on. And, but even today, oh God. And I always roll mine into a story. I try to assimilate it into a story in my life.
Yeah.
But they know they're funny and they'll be like, oh gosh, here comes a lecture. And the other two will go to the other side of the house if the one's getting lectured. Mm-hmm. And then the worst lecture in my house is if there's a wrong been done, like a bad one, because we have two chairs in our bedroom that face our bed. We'll be like, can you come in here, please? We'll take a seat.
Oh Lord.
And then the door's shut.
To clean.
And the child just sits there with goldfish eyes. It's like knowing something. And we're not yellers. We do not yell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there'll be like a get ready or clean this crap up. But we're not like, you know, come down yellers. But yeah, that's the lecture level. But it cracked me up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually somebody that's lecturing now. But today's was, what was today's? Oh, I can't remember. It was a good one on the way to school. I even think my kids like my wife taking her them to school because they know that it's not a lecture
you
coming.
You just want to impart the wisdom and maybe two or three of those words land. I don't know.
I'm learning to actually be a lot more succinct and cut down the conversation substantially.
Oh, I mean, it, there's, yeah.
Just to ensure. And also, I look them in the eye. Like when I'm having a lecture, I make sure they're not like looking at something else or spacing out. I'm like this is
oh, I think that's huge. Making them look at you and stop whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's
well. One important communication strategy too is to always come to their level.
Yeah, physically. Totally. Yeah,
yeah. Even if they're on the floor, like sit on the floor with them and get right at eye level.
100%.
And keep the tone even and just have the talk.
And I'll do that. I'll kneel with my 7-year-old eye to eye.
That's because you're like 8'4".
Like, nope. But that's Ben.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't see Ben's got his feet out tonight.
Huh?
What size are those?
I'm a 14. It's proportional, man.
Put a truck in there.
Proportional.
All right, that was our parent tweets of the week. Thank you all the parents for giving us fun stuff to talk about every week. Kind of self-analytical and self-deprecating at the same time, but yet poignant. All right, coming up next, smart articles by smart people from Psychology Today, the key to raising independent and capable kids, valuable principles that can help both you and your children develop and thrive.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, smart articles by smart people. This one is from Lisa Firestone, PhD, and the article, like I just said prior, was The Key to Raising Independent, Capable Kids. Now, we've talked about this on other episodes in different divisions of this. So I guess this could be a mix of a check-in and a kind of a recap, and then we'll infuse some new knowledge. This is a fairly recent article. Just came out on New Year's. How do you think you're doing? The key points in this article, just to kick it off, it says it can be difficult for parents to balance supporting their children and encouraging their children to support themselves, because we are definitely in the era of helicopter parents, lawnmower parents, parents that snowplow their way for their kids, and things are very easy. And when kids get out into the real world, it does them no service, according to what I've read and listening to experts. Parents must transition into different roles as their children get older, which I totally see. And at any age, including children in projects and offering them manageable responsibilities can help kids develop and thrive. I'll start, I guess. You know, as parents, it can be challenging to find the line between caring and doing too much for them. I've read a lot about this in the last 6 or 7 months and interviewed a couple people too. I think we're doing okay. I'm pleasantly getting little tiny victories where I was once more worried that things weren't happening. You know, because you can't oversee the day at school. You can't oversee left field on a baseball practice. You can't, you know, you can't be there to kind of, so we kind of let the kids navigate and then come in more if there's a macro issue or if we get a note from a teacher. Or, but the day to day, we feel like as parents, we've been giving our kids more independence and giving them more responsibility around the home, especially. And I'll give you an example, and I'm very lucky slash not lucky. My wife, I mentioned, just had surgery on her wrist, so she's a little bit lean right now on the, you know, just dishes and things like that, which we all picked up. But my middle guy jumped right in. He's like, let me unload the dishwasher. Let me try and do the dishes tonight. Let me help clear the table with Kira, who's usually doing it, my older one, mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever. So, again, not every day's perfect, but I do feel like we're progressing a little bit in these areas. And I do feel in part it's to do all the techniques and methods I've been picking up. How about you guys? Where are you at? How do you think your kids are doing in general? And then we'll continue to go through the article. Ben or Mark, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first image that came to mind is when I was in Alaska and I that the first bald eagle I saw, I was, oh, so majestic. And then, like, as you go around the corner, they slowly became like this, like these rats and seagulls, and these fat, ugly, lazy bald eagles are running around the dumpster, because it's the same thing with kids. It's nature. Like, you know,
I was wondering where we're going.
You see where I'm going with this? Like, they are fierce hunters, man, who are lean and mean, and these fat bald eagles will die in a week now because they've been fed and pampered, and, you know, and they hang around garbage bins. And I don't know, like, it's, I think our kids are too pampered. We tried desperately to work against it, but they whine when they have to do a chore. Oh my gosh, my dad would have just put me outside for a week if I complained about the chores. So anyway, I feel kids around where we are, we all live in the same area, they're soft, but, you know, like, and I know you guys hate when I compare Holland and all this, but they were much more independent when we lived there last year. And that's part of their surroundings. Like, it's safer to bike, and the way the town works, you know, they just were off on their own all day and came back at dark. Can't imagine doing that in the town where we are. So it's very much your surroundings. So they're
independent. I think somewhat, but I think you can assimilate. Like, well, my kids, I'll let them walk downtown to get boba.
Yeah.
Across busy streets, and I let them ride their bikes all around here, yeah, with caution. They know the rules, and they know how to do it.
Right, you know? So we have to stretch ourselves, right? Like, we're not going to be comfortable with it. We have to step out as parents to trust them and allow them, even if it means following them the first time downtown to get boba. Just that's if you can't handle it because you're worried about them, let them go and give them that independence and just, you know, trail behind them or something. That's, we did that with our oldest, like. Yeah, and they were fine. And so,
I think there's a little psychological break you have to have no matter what,
yeah,
your surroundings are. There's, yeah, the first time you're going to let them do this.
Yeah.
It's the first time you're going to let them do that. I think our generation was probably a lot earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was in fourth grade, and I'm making my own meals on the oven, you know, with my parents in the other
Mom,
room.
Mom, dinner's like, ready.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like, but the responsibility was there, and the, you know, The paragraph in here that was interesting, and I kind of would see where they're going. I recently read the actor Will Smith's autobiography, which he shared a story of his father telling him and his brothers they were going to build a wall in the family's new store. First, the kids felt overwhelmed by this suggestion. How could we possibly build a wall? We're just kids. It will take forever. However, after teaching them how to lay a brick, his dad told them, don't worry about the wall. Just focus on showing up each day, laying each brick one by one, and eventually the wall was built.
There you go.
It was a life skill, right?
Brick by
it's
brick.
The same with ours. It's just like cooking, or he helped me paint the fence, or he helped, you know, this or that. But it's all those breaks. How about you, Mark? Where do you guys stand currently?
Well, we have a chore list on the fridge, and the kids are expected to do their chores. And as somebody who has managed people my whole life, I tell my kids regularly that if they'd worked for me, they'd be fired. But I try and get them to understand how, you know, in a company, in a family, one thing leads to another. So the success of the family, the success of your job. And I tell my kids all the time that, you know, do you want to be a good roommate? When you go off to college, when you're in your 20s, you want to be the person that people want to live with, not the person who gets kicked out. So, you know, I'm trying to get them to be thoughtful. So, you know, it's one of those things where I monitor their progress. I jump in and pitch in when things are falling apart. things are age appropriate. Obviously, my 15-year-old does more than my 11-year-old, more than my 7-year-old. But and actually, what's interesting is, you know, I oftentimes will jump in and do my 7-year-old's job, and he'll actually see that, and he'll say, "Wow, Dad, I'm really sorry I didn't do that. Let me help you with this." So he's starting to see that in a family environment, you know, we're all supposed to kind of jump in and help each other and do things to help the machine run well.
I
try not to give them something that's beyond their years, but at the same time, I let them fail. My daughter loves to bake, and she's made some awful cookies, but those have led to some great cookies. So kind of letting her fail. And, you know, one time she put in cumin instead of cinnamon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And those are really, bad cookies. It's like, hey, man, you know, letters matter. But the point is
cumin toast crunch would be good cereal.
That's the name of your next band, by the way. Good cookies.
good cookies.
The synopsis is, I think they're capable of way more than we think. And I try to live there. Like, okay, totally, they can do this. And just let them try. And they surprise me every time.
I don't disagree, but I'm just going to cite the article here.
All right.
Second thing we should always keep in mind is, no matter what, our children are not us. When we give our kids responsibility or set them on a path to achieve certain goals, we must all along ask ourselves who these goals belong to and who they serve. Very often we project our own wants, needs, and experiences onto our kids.
Totally.
We may want to laundry list things for them that we have never had, or may rely on them to accomplish things we never could. It may not sound so bad to want our children to have it better than us, but when we view our children as duplicates of ourselves, we are most likely not seeing them for who they are.
Oh, it's difficult.
Well, that's why I try and go tribe. Like, what does the tribe need? What are your capabilities towards the tribe?
But I think what he's saying is just like, for example, like, I really want my daughter to love ball sports, and she just doesn't. You know what I mean? It's very hard for me to understand. And to let go of, right? But so you're just saying I have to see what her interests are and nurture those, and that's very hard to rip myself away from. She might not be an athlete. That's very tough to accept, but it's important to do.
Well, I like that you're there, because not that you have to ever agree with me, but like, that has been a through line of so much stuff we've read and listened to, is if they're in a canoe and it's a happy river, stay in the river.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, if they're not going to play baseball or swim, or it's just not in their DNA, or they're just not into it, but they're really into Marvel or Legos or math, or it doesn't have to be that thing. Here's what it says. In order to raise capable and confident person, we have to awaken the things that light our children up, which is exactly what you just said. Where do their natural abilities and interests lie? Which of those are unique to them and different from ours? Look at that, Benjamin. Right. You're right on target here.
See?
Again, it shouldn't be confused with pressure. This is about being attuned to our kids, what they're discovering, what they're exploring, and themselves. And I've talked to several experts about that, and it's almost unanimous that, you know, you got to kind of give it up and just go with the flow, because if they're doing something they love, they're going to want to do it more, and they're going to want to become better at it, or they're going to want to flame their hobby into something.
Got to nurture. But I will say, it's very important for us to encourage something kinetic. I think, you know, like, kids need to move. They really do.
Oh, sure, so sure.
So my daughter's into sailing. I could have never imagined
32 different flavors, yeah.
Right, but it should be, I do think it's great, whatever, they love Marvel, or they love reading, or they love Dungeons & Dragons. They also need, I'm going to push my kids, I don't care what anybody says, to do something kinetic, like extracurricularly. I think it's critical. Kids got to move.
Yeah, we definitely encourage ours, but we dipped our toes into several sports over the years.
Yeah.
And when we had the opportunity to, like, play travel ball or get in one of those, leagues, we're just like, nah, you know.
That's
like,
a lot. That's a whole nother level. But
the kid has to have a passion for it.
And that's the thing.
I never want to push my kids towards something they're not passionate about.
They gotta be self-motivated.
I took this article to think more in terms of, you know, age-appropriate, getting them to try things, and, you know, not necessarily sports or other activities, but just rather more of I took it more of a chore based thing, like, you know, what's age appropriate? How do I get them to be moving on to the next? Because, you know, again, when they grow up, I want them to be good citizens and capable of doing it. But yeah, we totally let our kids pick and choose. You know, my son told me today that he wasn't going to try out for a certain team, and I'm like, okay. And he's like, you're not upset? I'm like, no. If it's not your jam, it's not your jam.
Yeah, I mean, I think this article goes. Nah,
it wasn't.
It goes three different ways, three different prongs. You know, it says a couple different things that we've all kind of talked about. You know, maybe a little bit of the chore thing and the responsibility and giving them early. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It could be finances. It could be physically learning how to change a tire on a car. It could be, you know, all those types of things. But, you know, raising a child as they go from fully dependent to independent brings up all kind of instincts and emotions. Mm. But finding that sweet spot, short of overpressuring, overpraising, or overdoing for our child, takes patience and introspection. Mm. And I think, you know, it's really crazy too, because we try to do we're not perfect by any means, but we try to do the right thing. But you can kind of cherry pick those parents that you see that are doing the behaviors spoken against in these things. And you're like, you want to say something, but then it's none of my business. Like, I stay in my own lane kind of a thing. And I feel sorry for the children a lot of times that are getting shoved into places they don't want to be. And
to live vicariously through their unfulfilled dreams.
Yeah, well, I think some.
We're all human beings. And the thing is, we're all infinitely different. So you have to kind of find those differences and then help foster the goodness in what the kid, or, you know, I'm all about, like, what are you passionate about? Let's explore that. You want to draw, you want to play music, you want to play sports, you want to cook, you know, whatever it is you're passionate about.
That's really hard to do.
Well, no, it's, I mean, but that's,
I'm just saying, man, like, yeah, that's all we all want. But like we're talking about the challenge of like separating yourself from your own understanding of what is good, and like, you know, like even what like was unsuccessful, what we were maybe did unfulfilled, right? But I mean, I don't know.
But I know what my passions are, and of course I share those passions with my kids. But at the same time, if their passions aren't my passions, I don't take that as a slight. I think in terms more of like, wow, what else? Now what can I learn about your passion that helps feed me or help my outlook on life? And where can I grow based on what you're showing me? So, because I've grown a lot by being a parent, by watching what their passions are, because there's plenty of things they're into that I don't dig, but I love them. So I'm into whatever what they're trying to get into. To a degree. Sometimes it's just like, yeah, no, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of it, like, I'll get a little hippy dippy. We just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And then we do ask, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, if they're involved in something, I mean, barring a hobby, like if they're collecting Funko Pops or something like that. But if they're involved in something, albeit a play or an oratorical festival or even a sport that they may or may not be a starter or on that, just for that season, for that session, for that time, just give it your all, because what you're doing are the push-ups for your future. Whether you succeed or not at the sport, or you don't clear the audition, or you don't get the part, you're still learning about disappointments, but you're learning how to make yourself better, and you're learning how to grow, which we think will help you when you're out without us hanging around.
Absolutely.
So, 100%.
Gotta fall down.
Lisa Firestone, PhD in the house.
Thanks, Lisa.
It's a good article.
Yeah, good article from Psychology Today. Thank you, Mark, for getting me to Psychology Today. We will look at your article. All right, time for Would You Rather, the new national craze that's sweeping the country.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that once I started asking these on the show, Chris Chai bought these for his employees, now it's like the highlight of their Zoom calls as they do these questions?
It's a good little employee check-in, huh?
It is.
I need to buy these just for fun.
By the way, the score totals were Ben had 9, Mark had 3.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
Awesome. That means I win for the next three
times. You've won two bottles of Excedrin, one migraine, and one extra strength.
Yes. I'll be glad to let this false news happen.
I'll rip right through those.
At your local Target, I believe you can get those. Okay, question number one. What's the worst job you've ever had? I'll go first. There's two that are neck and neck for the bottom.
Oh, man.
But I'm going to go with number one. Well, I'm going to go with one. Maybe I'll save the story of the other one for a later show. When I first moved to California, I saw an ad in the paper for Planet Hollywood was hiring in downtown San Francisco, and I was a scrappy young mascot, not quite making the millions that I thought I would make. And I answered the ad, and I got in the line, and I interviewed with a guy, and I got the job, and I'm like, okay. And, an attendant. This is going to be awesome. Fast track to waiter, maybe a bartender, make some big money here in the San Francisco. And I wore the proper clothing. They gave me my polo and my khakis, and they gave me a basket when I walked in. And I'm like, okay, do I have, training or anything? They're like, oh, no. And he gave me a list of things that I would purchase, and he gave me a $100 bill. And on the list, there was colognes and lifesavers and all sorts of mints and combs and hairspray. And I'm like, am I just running an errand for, like, the training class? He's like, no, you start as the bathroom attendant at tonight's shift.
Your polo shirt.
I got a job as the bathroom attendant in the Planet Hollywood.
Did you hand out towels or what?
I did it all.
Okay.
I said I would sit in the bathroom for, I don't know, 6 hours a shift.
Yikes.
Oh, man.
In a men's bathroom.
Did you get tips at least?
Yeah. Yeah, it was horrible, but it was not as horrible. It was creepy horrible, but then not creepy horrible. And I mean, it wasn't like old-timey New York where there's a guy with a white jacket and a towel over his arm. It was like Planet Hollywood, Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, I'm surprised you even tonight. Had one, really.
It was a terrible, odorific job.
Hanging out in the bathroom is not a fun place to hang.
But there were nights, true story, that I would make $300-$500 because the guy that trained me, he's like, I've opened up several of these bathrooms in Planet Hollywood. Let me show you how to make some money, kid. Like, he was so serious about how to be a bathroom attendant. And I got to give him credit. Like, he took his job seriously.
Passion.
And his key was to strike up a conversation. He's okay. Like, if you can get somebody to say a few words to you beside thank you or whatever.
It's so true.
They're more inept to give you something. And especially if you tip things right there. And if they take anything from you, the chances are 95 to 100. He's like, so always stock the best colognes, have the best gum, et cetera, et cetera.
Shoot, man.
The best gum.
That's a huge curve, totally. If they talk to me, I'm like, okay, here's a buck. Of
course. Yeah.
But the guy's a bathroom attendant.
So I've had other odd, crazy jobs, but that one came to mind first.
Oh, that's
Ben?
Funny. Oh, so I guess the first one that came to mind is when I was like 10. My dad, I think I've expressed before that he's a lesson guy. And there's the Alameda County Fair is in Pleasanton where I grew up.
California.
Yeah, Pleasanton, California. Yeah. And that's we hosted our county fair and there's these ponds all around the botanical gardens where people throw change. You know, like the little wishing ponds. You'd be surprised how many ponds there are. So my job was to get up at like 5:30 and get out there and collect the money in the ponds before, super early before school, I had to be there. Now, here's why it was horrible. It's because they all had this electric current going through them. I kid you not.
So all the ponds had.
Yeah. I would have to get in there with my bare feet. And I was like, something's wrong. You guys are like, nah, it's just a low current. You're fine. And like, I was being shocked the entire time. And I told my parents, I'm like, I'm getting shocked. And they're like, get in there. And it's not that bad.
How long did you do the job?
Like a couple summers. So I've never had a real boss.
A couple summers?
Yeah.
So in the summertime.
It's the fair is only 2 weeks a year.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So no, I only have ever done gig work.
I'm trying to figure out how much damage might have been caused. Dude,
well, I'm scared to death of any shock now, I'll tell you that. But I can still feel it, you guys. Like, I stepped, I'm like, God, please help me. And I put my toe in there and just like that initial jolt, and then you just wading through the water, picking up. And all the ponds had some weird thing because they were all lit up and pretty. I don't know what it was, but I'm like, can you please turn it off? But there was like, no, kid, just whatever. Just, I don't know, but I thought it was normal. Or, but I would like scoop up this.
Who received the money when it was collected?
It was for, that's a great question. Yeah.
After you put your life on the line.
I got paid like $3
literally.
An hour. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that wild?
You're like out there for an hour, maybe $300.
And I was like, this is really wrong. But like, can't you at least turn it off? But no, they wouldn't turn off. So I was like,
all right, that trumps mine because mine wasn't physical. It was just more mental, Mark.
Oh my gosh. So it's funny, you know, he both of them, yours is, you know, young adult, and his is kid, and mine's actually the last job that had. I was thinking, I've been pretty fortunate to have jobs that I relatively enjoyed, and the last job that I had, my boss had issues, and so yeah, that's why I'm not there anymore.
Didn't you have to drive a forklift around all day?
No, I did drive a forklift. I'm forklift certified, but my boss was unstable, and there were many days that I'd go to work and think there was hidden cameras in my building. Like there's just no way that this place is as zany as it is. It wasn't even a fun sitcom. It was just, anyway, so, yeah.
Sorry, buddy. That sucks, you know, down the road as an adult. And
It's okay. I like your story gave me a good laugh, so thank you for electric shock treatment.
We're glad you're free of that, man.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you got to cut and run.
Heck yeah.
Well, Ben wished he had cut and run.
Right.
Maybe he wouldn't have been shocked so much.
Hey, man. Told you my dad was a...
All right. I'll take second place on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Harvey's third. Ben's definitely...
Mine's not even...
Still kind of warped from that one.
Oh, that's what happened.
Right.
All right. Second questions. We can make this kind of short, and then we'll move on to get our listeners back to life. In what way do you feel your childhood was happier than other people's? And we don't have to get all gushy or anything, but I would just say this. I had tons of freedom, meaning I had a single mom working a lot. I was on my own a lot, and I just had tons of freedom. I could go out and just stay out. I mean, not like bar out. I was 12 years old. But you'd stay out in the neighborhoods or the apartment complex, and you could just – it was just freedom. Like, I didn't have anybody checking me in to go to bed. I didn't have anybody – really like overseeing me all the time. And I know that sounds like it would be a different kind of feeling, but when I look back, it was so nice to just have that natural freedom. I was definitely supervised, and my mom was my mom when she was there. And my apartment complex kind of looked out for me, and my neighborhood always looked out for me, but I was a very happy child. I would consider it like an oddly happy childhood. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of tension. Not a lot of drama. You just kind of lived for the day.
Your mom was working, man.
Yeah.
You were out there. You had to grow up a little quicker. And it's funny because mine was the opposite. My mom, I had the freedom of like a small town in the 80s. But I would say that my advantage was that our mom was just able to be home. Like she said, she told us later, I just love that I was able to be home after school. I wanted to be. And she was there, you know, to take us, you know, like just be. She said, I just wanted to be home after school. And that was cool. I really appreciated that, her presence and just whatever we needed, whether it was a snack or practice or something. So I think my strength was just my mom's presence. Dad rolled in at, you know, 6:30 or 7 every night, but mom was very present.
That was right. So that made you happy, Mark?
Yeah, my childhood was great. I mean, same like yours. I was a latchkey kid. I had married parents, but they were both working, and I'd, you know, let myself into the house, and I'd do my homework, and I'd watch cartoons, and I'd run outside and hang out until the streetlights came on and have dinner. And the freedom, to your point, MK, is like, that was giant, just being able to bike around. I lived across the street from a high school, so we had this huge campus of football fields, baseball fields, and also hallways that had like slopes where you could bike, and they were slick, so you could like kick your brakes on and slide around. And,
little arms sliding around.
It was awesome. So, I mean, you know, my sisters were a lot older than me. So by the time I was 11, I had no siblings living in the house and I was roaming the streets and had, you know, kids in the neighborhood.
Mean streets of the peninsula.
It was, man, San Carlos, California, man. Great. It was great. Like, it was popping.
I mean, I wouldn't compare this against, like, the question's kind of skewed. I'm not comparing it against that it's happier than other people's because everybody's got their own. But when I first read this, it struck me that was probably what made me happiest, broad stroke, about that time.
Yeah, man.
Well, yeah, freedom is amazing. And when I look at my kids' situation, it's a lot different. I mean, I'm now letting my 15-year-old
you were like one walk of the around. But. You were like one of the characters in Stand By Me, weren't you, like when they made that movie? Was that you? I knew I recognized you.
Yeah, yeah. And Sandlot.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's who you nice.
We were definitely the scrounge the kids up, go to the vacant lot and play some ball. All right. Well, that was two. That's enough. Good job, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I know Ben's got to head out. It's actually nighttime here, and you've got some errands to run. All right. Coming up next, things that make us smile, and then we'll close the show. All right. It's time for things that make us smile, our traditional way of closing the show. One thing that makes me smile is picturing Chris on a Dumbo ride or Space Mountain right now with a turkey leg.
Do you think he's a screamer?
And I bet he snuck in food. Like, he snuck in all his stuff because he doesn't want to pay the...
pay for just like the soggy sandwiches.
Full of, like, Cheez-Its and Goldfish or something.
Totally.
So what, man? What?
Yeah. So that makes me smile knowing that he's having a good time.
I'm never ready for this.
We'll be back together again. Also, one fun full circle life moment. My two oldest, it's the last time they're going to be in the same school together.
Oh.
Well, at least elementary school. And they're both in the school play, which is Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, yes.
And they're learning all these Schoolhouse Rock songs that I knew from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, like, one of them came home and was just singing, "I'm just a bill. Yeah, I'm only a bill."
Love it.
Sitting here on Capitol Hill. I know. And it's just very adorable. Everything's healthy. Everybody is healthy. And life is good. And I'll take it day by day. So that's what makes me happy this week. Mark?
Yeah, go on, Mark.
Oh, what makes me smile? I'll tell you. Spending time in Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park with my family.
Not in the park, though. You didn't stay in the park.
We did. We stayed at... thanks, MK. Always trying to, like, yeah. I'm the whipping boy. You guys all know that. But, yeah, just seeing the majesty. If you've been to Zion National Park and you're standing there with those giant cliffs in that canyon where the lodge is, where I stayed, you just... It reframes your whole... Yeah. Thought process about the world, and
it does.
You start thinking about millions of years of water carving through that canyon. Anyway, it just and to see my kids, because the last time we were there, I remember my 15-year-old was one, and he was 32 pounds and 32 inches. He was a square baby, and we used to carry him in a backpack. And I told him as we were hiking up these slopes that I packed him, and he's like, "Wow!" Like,
and now here you are.
Like just add 32 pounds to your hike. Of course, now I'm older, but still. Anyway, but just to see the wonder in their faces and to see them enjoy nature and enjoy the hikes like we do, you know, that's kind of some of the things we're trying to impart on our kids, is just the love of nature and places like that. And it's just, you know, it's amazing to be able to show them things that are majestic like that. So I keep thinking about their faces and how much joy that trip brought them. And it's just, you know, it's nice.
Did you do Angel's Landing, Mark? Did you do the Narrows, Mark?
We did some of the Narrows.
Did you hike Bryce, Mark?
We did hike some of Bryce, but it was icy.
It's icy. It's dangerous.
And it was amazing.
I was worried about you.
As we drove into the park, imagine trees all covered in what looked like flocked Christmas trees. It was epic. Just some of the scenery pictures wouldn't do justice to.
Support your national parks, people.
Sounds stupid. I like. I'm just kidding.
Support national parks.
He just winked at you.
Come on, man.
Well, he also did a kissy face.
I can't let you be that cheesy and get away with it. Let's see. Me, fresh sheets on the bed. Love
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Thread
a
count.
A perfect apple. Crunchy, crunchy, and cold. And that's about it. That's what those two things come to mind.
Fresh sheets.
A word to all you young adults out there. Invest in good sheets.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Oh, don't skimp on the sheets.
Don't skimp on the sheets. Get those Egyptian threads.
Just do it.
Get those counts up.
You spend a third of your life there.
Yes. It's one thing that took me a while to, mm-hmm. to learn. I had IKEA till I was about 40.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. No, I'm only kidding.
Slipping into fresh sheets is...
All right. Well, amazing. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to all the people that interact with us online. You can follow us at Instagram, Twitter, or the Book of Faces. We do have a website now. So, I went and did it. We've got that going on, and we've got some great guests lined up. And hopefully, the whole band will be back together soon. And we really enjoy all of you. Thank you for hanging out with us.
All right, y'all.
Have a great night and or day or morning, wherever you are.
Life
in general. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch you on the other side. See Dad you. Time Out Show, we're out of here.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.